Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 30 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
I think that higher education is almost becoming not affordable.
A lawmaker from Rowan County is calling for more funding for education.
Moorhead State University is lobbying to keep the Kentucky Folk Arts Center.
A recreational marijuana bill has been filed in the state Senate.
A Vanceburg man has been indicted on 20 charges of sex crimes against children.
Crews are working to clean up an oil spill in the Big Sandy River.
In sports, Moorhead State's Lady Eagles are on the court, and the men tip off at 7 tonight at Johnson Arena.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Clear skies tonight, lows around 21. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Kentucky House Minority Leader Rocky Adkins says Governor Bevin's budget proposal will take the Commonwealth backward, not forward, especially when it comes to the issue of education. The Moorhead Democrat notes that Bevin's plan calls for a $78 million spending reduction for higher education and $198 million in cuts for Kentucky's K-12 public schools.
I think if you just want to start there, in my opinion, it's hard to create the economy we want to have in Kentucky. It's hard to attract and retain the business and industry that we want to have in Kentucky without having a strong public education system.
Adkins says the cuts to higher education will force the state's public universities to continue to increase their tuition, which will make it even harder for people, especially those from eastern Kentucky, to afford college educations.
Moorhead State President Jay Morgan says he was surprised by Governor Bevin's Tuesday night announcement that the university's Kentucky Folk Arts Center is on his list of 70 programs the state should no longer pay for. Bevin made that suggestion when talking about his two-year budget proposal for Kentucky. Morgan says the state has traditionally been giving MSU $200,000 in each of its biennial budgets for the Folk Arts Center, and he's hoping to convince lawmakers to reinstate that funding when they put together their own budget plan. Morgan believes it's important to keep the KFAC open.
I think it's a jewel for the university. It's a jewel for our community. It's a jewel for the region. And it really is. It's an important piece of heritage and culture. And we've got to find a way to see if we can get those funds replenished or put back in the General Assembly or come up with some alternatives.
While Morgan notes it's too early to say what those alternatives could be, it's crucial to start thinking about them now in case the legislature follows through with the governor's recommendation to cut the Folk Art Center's funding completely.
In spite of those proposed cuts, higher education funding received barely any mention in Governor Matt Bevin's budget address on Tuesday. But his proposed two-year spending plan would further cut state funding by more than 6%. WUKY's Josh James has reaction from the University of Kentucky.
Kentucky remains part of a shrinking minority of states that have continued to cut higher education since the 2008 recession. If the governor's preferred cuts receive the blessing of the General Assembly, UK's state appropriations will have shrunk by more than 28% over that period. Wednesday, UK President Eli Capoluto said the school is still evaluating the potential impact of the cuts, which would work out to around $16 million. While it's early in the budgeting process, UK spokesman Jay Blanton says the university plans to keep telling its story in Frankfurt while thinking ahead.
When we do face cuts, we're going to plan strategically. We don't believe in across-the-board cuts. President Capoluto believes in doing everything we can to maintain and enhance academic quality.
One looming question is what another round of state cuts could mean for tuition. Blanton says affordability remains a top concern, and he points to a reduction in the rate of tuition increases in recent years, despite declining state support. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Cutting programs across the state isn't the way to balance Kentucky's budget. And that's according to Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. Blevins reacted to Governor Matt Bevin's State of the Commonwealth address Tuesday night, where the Republican leader laid out his plan to cut funding to 70 programs, including the Folk Arts Center in Moorhead. Blevins says the state should instead look for new revenue streams.
You could do casino gaming. That'll raise money. I know there's a bill in to do something with medical marijuana, and also even one for recreational marijuana to raise a lot of dollars. If you look at some of the western states, and even here in the eastern part of the United States, are looking at that as a way to raise dollars.
Blevins says tax reform would also help settle funding woes within the state, but he has yet to see that happen with 30-plus years in Kentucky politics.
A recreational marijuana bill has been introduced in the Kentucky Senate. KNN's Paul Miles reports.
Senator Dan Syme of Louisville says Kentucky should join the legalization trend flourishing elsewhere. Eight states and the District of Columbia have legalized marijuana for recreational use. Syme's bill would allow adults 21 or older to legally use marijuana. It would also legalize production and sale of pot. Syme estimates the state would generate up to $200 million in revenue. His bill faces long odds in the legislature. I'm Paul Miles.
Kentucky's so-called adoption czar has left Governor Matt Bevin's administration 7 months into his appointment without explanation. The Courier-Journal reported Monday that a Cabinet for Health and Family Services spokesman said the state contract with Daniel Dumas has been terminated. He didn't provide more details, and Dumas didn't respond to the newspaper's request for comment. A legislative committee in June approved the former Southern Baptist Theological Seminary professor's contract to review Kentucky's troubled child welfare system. His selection drew criticism from some, including Democrats, who said he lacked professional social service experience. Reporting directly to the Republican governor, Dumas drew a salary of around $250,000 a year under the 2-year contract, which would have been renewable for 2 more years.
We'll have more of your region's headlines after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A Lexington surgeon has been arrested after he allegedly reported to work while intoxicated. WKYT reports Dr. Theodore Gersel had been suspended in his duties as a plastic surgeon with Baptist Health Lexington. Officials say Gersel seemed to be impaired when he showed up for surgery on Monday. He reportedly left the hospital on foot after speaking with a superior, prompting officials to call Lexington police. Gersel was located near the hospital and arrested on charges of public intoxication. Gersel is lodged in the Fayette County Detention Center. Baptist Health officials say he will not be allowed to resume practice until the matter is investigated.
A Vanceburg man has been indicted on 20 charges of sex crimes against young children. WSAZ reports 26-year-old Brandon Foreman was charged with 11 counts of first-degree sodomy and 9 counts of first-degree sexual abuse in connection with several incidents that took place between 2009 and 2017. Foreman is housed in the Lewis County Detention Center. He's scheduled for arraignment tomorrow.
A judge has dismissed the rape, sodomy, and witness bribery charges against a former University of Kentucky board chair. The Owensboro Messenger-Inquirer reports that Special Circuit Judge Kelly Mark Easton dismissed the charges against 78-year-old Billy Joe Miles on Tuesday, but the manner of the dismissal has yet to be resolved. A home health worker had accused Miles of sexually assaulting her, leading to a 2016 indictment. Assistant Attorney General John Heck and Barbara Maines Whaley filed an affidavit earlier this month saying the woman's attorney told prosecutors she didn't wish to proceed with the case because of her, quote, fragile physiological condition. Defense Attorney Scott Cox argued that the case should be dismissed with prejudice, which prevents prosecutors from bringing the charges back to court in the future.
Response teams are taking action to clean up a recent oil spill in the Big Sandy River in Canova, West Virginia. WMKY's Kenzie Thompson reports.
The estimated 1,300-gallon oil spill resulted after a tugboat sank in the river just over a week ago. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the oil spread 2 miles down the river from mile marker 7 to mile marker 5. Response teams have now recovered approximately 800 gallons of it from the water. The oil was removed with a vacuum truck and a drum skimmer. The city of Ashland is currently supplying water to Canova, West Virginia. Ashland's water intakes are deeper in the river than Canova's, thus they were not affected by the spill. The city of Canova has hired a company in Cincinnati to bring in heavy equipment to retract the boat from the bottom of the river. However, the company is waiting until the water level lowers before it starts the job. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
Road conditions in Kentucky are finally clearing up. Kentucky Department of Highway Safety spokesman Alan Blair says that the snow and ice are finally being cleared from State Highway 32 along with other major roadways. While cleanup teams have been hard at work, recent weather conditions have helped some too.
The sun is helping out more than anything. I tell you, one of the best things is just some plowing and some sun will really help get that ice off the roads. And we've gotten that for the last 2 days, so that's helped an awful lot.
Blair says that the snow and ice remains on back roads, rather, but that those are next in line for cleanup.
Officials with the Rowan County School System are making plans for how to make up the instructional days that have been lost to the recent spate of cold and snow. According to Superintendent Marvin Moore, the district built 3 snow days into its 2017-18 calendar, but they've already missed 6 days of classes this winter. Moore says they'll likely add those days on to the end of spring semester.
We can't control Mother Nature. We just have to deal with it when it happens and adjust our calendar to what we have to do to get the hours in. See, we now they count the hours you have to get. We have to get 1,062 hours in, and whatever it takes, we'll make it happen.
Moore says the Round District was initially scheduled to start summer break on May 12th, but that will now likely happen around May 15th or 16th. It has been announced that tomorrow will also be a day off for Round County schools, bringing their total for this school year up to 7.
The Grayson Tourism Commission and Park Board is offering details about its plan to build a new sports and recreation park. WMKY's Brian Courtney has the story.
The new park will reportedly include 4 baseball softball fields with a press box in the center of them. According to the Olive Hill Times, the park will also have soccer fields, football fields, tennis courts, along with a playground for kids, a skateboard area, as well as an outdoor amphitheater. Tourism Commission Chairwoman Mindy Woodsclick says the goal of the facility is to generate tourism revenue by attracting various kinds of sports tournaments. One such event would be the 2019 State Little League Tournament, which could mean tens of thousands of dollars for the local economy. Woodsclick says that not only will the park help local businesses, but it will also be a nice place for local teams to play. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Brian Courtney.
While crews in Powell County worked to clear the roads yesterday, harsh evening temperatures caused them to freeze over once more. Road crews are working aggressively now to treat the most heavily impacted roads. There are currently 7 trucks out scraping ice and spreading salt. Powell Road Foreman Daniel Clare tells WKYT it's really difficult to safely drive the trucks on some of the narrow roads.
Some of them's pretty tough. You got a lot of tight areas and a lot of places hard to turn around after you get in there. And it gets pretty tough sometimes on certain roads.
Clare says the county is moving forward with efforts to repair the roads without facing any major roadblocks. Powell County road officials are encouraging residents to call 606-663-6450 to report any county road that needs attention.
Taking a look at your region's weather for tonight, lows around 21 degrees with clear skies, sunny tomorrow with highs in the mid-40s. Friday night clear with low around 31 degrees. Saturday mostly sunny, a high of 52 degrees, and overnight lows around 45. Rain on Sunday morning with a high of 54 degrees. Sunday night into Monday more rain, a high of 57, and lows in the mid-30s. On Tuesday and Wednesday, cloudy skies, highs in the mid-40s, and the lows around 25. It's currently 29 degrees in Lexington, 30 degrees in Maysville, Moorhead, and Winchester. Flemingburg, 29 degrees. Ashland and Inez, it's 32 degrees.
The time is 4:44. I'm Arlo Barnett with Leanne Akers, and we're plumb chuffed to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. The ice and snow that hit the region this week kept many people in their homes, and that affects local businesses. Leanne tells us some more.
The snow started to fly on Monday night, and by Tuesday morning, most of Rowan County was shut down. The first 2 days of the spring semester classes at Morehead State University were canceled, and the Rowan County School District was also closed. While the safety of students and educators was a top priority, sometimes that means bad news for small businesses. Tony Netherly is the owner of All Seasons Cafe, Flowers and Gifts on Main Street. They were forced to close for 3 days this week. Now that they have reopened, Netherly is relying on social media to let people know what's happening.
Unfortunately, with businesses up and down Main Street in Morehead, I know everyone was affected, not only us. And it does slow down our means of bringing in money for revenue and things like that. Luckily, we have a good group of people that understand, and we work to make sure that they're taken care of just like we are.
Lena Root is the owner of Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe on Flemingsburg Road. She was forced to close her business for 3 days. Root says closing the doors hurt the business financially, but more importantly, it affects her employees.
Their livelihood depends on us, you know, them being able to work, because no work, no pay. So, and as I found yesterday, no customers, no work, no pay. So that's just sort of how it works. I'm sure that they're beginning to get a little concerned. Nobody's really saying anything to me, but, you know, it will impact their next paycheck.
Holbrook's Embroidery on Main Street in Morehead was able to open just a couple hours late each day this week. Owner Carrie Flanders says due to the nature of the business, they weren't as adversely affected by the bad weather.
I can still take orders, whether my doors are open or not, just because, you know, I'm not solely relying on customers walking in the door. Ready for the college kids to get back. We've been using this time to do a lot of stuff for the Greek and Morehead State, making stuff up ready for them to come in and buy it.
Coffee Tree Books and Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop on Main Street closed early Tuesday to allow employees to make it home safely. Owner Grant Alden says hot drinks and free kids programs had some customers braving the weather to come in. Alden says Snow Patrol offers crafts and games for kids and a break for parents who may have a little cabin fever.
We're still learning how to let people know that it's happening. I think there was a period of time when Main Street wasn't terribly attractive to drive down, and so I think that had an adverse impact on it. There aren't a huge number of school-age children that live in walking distance from the store, so if people aren't comfortable driving, they're not comfortable driving, and they shouldn't be.
Downtown roads in Morehead are mostly clear now. It seems everyone is back in business. For WMKY News, I'm Leanne Akers. In the interest of transparency, we should mention that some of the businesses discussed in today's feature segment provide underwriting support for Morehead State Public Radio. It's 4:48 and 30 degrees here in Morehead. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at morehedstate.edu/innovation.
A double dose. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Morehead State's basketball teams are at Johnson Arena this evening for an OVC doubleheader. The women's game tipped off just a little bit ago. Currently at the half, the Eagles lead 35-25. Darian Seward led the way for MSU with 18 first-half points. Jack State rode into Morehead with a 5-1 conference record, and MSU coach Greg Todd says the Gamecocks are an excellent team.
They've got probably the most depth. Seems like most teams in the OVC have had some season-ending injuries. And Jacksonville certainly had their share over the past couple years, but this team this year, they're just injury-free and very, very deep, and their posts are maybe second to none with the quartet they have in there.
As for the MSU men, their game with Jacksonville State starts at 7, even though the Eagles are just 5-12 overall and 1-5 in conference. Coach Preston Spradlin says the tough year hasn't dampened the young Eagle spirits.
Our locker room is terrific. Our bus is terrific. Our meeting rooms, these kids, their practices, they just They're enjoying each other's company. They're having fun, and they deserve to win these basketball games. We've lost a bunch of them close, and they deserve to win them. We just came up a little bit short.
Jacksonville State beat MSU by 7 just a couple of weeks ago on its home floor. The Kentucky basketball team faces another challenge on Saturday when they welcome Florida into Rupp Arena. Following Tuesday's loss to South Carolina, a game in which UK was up by as many as 14 points in the second half, Coach Sean Calipari says his team has to learn to play with a lead.
You know, you're up, okay, finish the game. No, they just, there's an unwarranted arrogance that we get up, we're really good, or I'm really good, and I'm going to do what I'm choosing to do. I'm not going to listen to what you're saying. And that's what happened, and then it started rolling, and all of a sudden we couldn't stop the onslaught.
Saturday's game will be a battle for the SEC's top spot. While Kentucky is 4-2 in conference play, Florida is 5-1. The game tips off at 8:15. On Saturday at 8, the nation's third-ranked player in the class of 2018 is set to make his college announcement. Zion Williamson will choose between Clemson, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, and South Carolina. The Spartansburg, South Carolina native has been recruited by in-state schools Clemson and the Gamecocks for more than 4 years. However, Williamson says he doesn't feel an obligation to pick an in-state school.
I don't really feel pressure with that because, you know, I can't just go to a school just because it's a local hero. I have to go to the school that's best for me. When I select a school, not to have any regrets about it, not to have any what if I would have went to this other school, just to be completely sure that I want to go to that school. In the end, this is a business, and I have to go to the school that's best for me.
Clemson and Kentucky are considered to be the favorites in Williamson's recruitment. The Round County basketball teams are slated to return to the hardwood tonight after a long winter's nap. Because of snow and cold, the Vikings and Lady Vikings haven't played in a week. The boys will visit George Rogers Clark this evening. The Vikings have a 9-7 record, and Coach Sean Thacker believes they've had a good season so far.
We've gotten some wins that maybe on paper you didn't expect at the beginning, but we've had a couple tough losses. It could be better. It could be worse, and it's probably right where it probably supposed to be, somewhere in the middle. So that's usually the way seasons go. So far, you know, I'm pleased with our progress.
The 7-6 Lady Vikings will try to continue their two-game winning streak this evening at Bracken County. The Cincinnati Reds' top 2017 draft pick is looking forward to his first full pro season. Hard-throwing right-hander pitcher Hunter Green was the second overall selection in last June's amateur draft. The 18-year-old native of Los Angeles says having pro scouts watch him play in high school was a huge confidence booster for him.
It was awesome. One, I didn't think that they were going to be there. And it just happened so fast. It was cool to just have that support from somebody and think that I'm that good of a player to be scouted and be a professional player one day. So it's very cool.
The Reds' pitchers and catchers will report to the club's spring training base in Goodyear, Arizona on February the 13th. Also for Major League Baseball, Detroit has avoided arbitrations with shortstop Jose Iglesias by signing him to a one-year $6.2 million contract. And some 28,000 Pirates fans have signed a petition asking Major League Baseball to force owner Bob Nutting to sell the ball club. Many of them are frustrated about the club's recent trades of stars Garrett Cole and Andrew McCutchen. Wes Carter's new football coach is already hard at work. Former defensive coordinator Daniel Barker calls replacing the retired Kevin Brown at the helm of the Comets the fulfillment of a lifelong dream. Barker says his first goal as Wes Carter's new bench boss is to increase the team's roster size.
That should happen. We lost three seniors, and then we've got a pretty good sized freshman class coming in, so numbers should increase just on account of that. I think we bring back 37 of our 40 kids, and then, you know, we're going to bring in 16, 17 freshmen, so numbers will come up.
Next fall, Barker will be looking to boost the Comets team that finished 2017 at 5-6. Finally in sports, day three of the four-day hearing for former Michigan State and USA Gymnastics Dr. Larry Nassar, who pled guilty to 10 counts of first-degree criminal sexual conduct, continued today. As part of Nassar's deal, part of his plea deal, all 135 women who accused him of abusing them were allowed to confront him and share their stories in the court. However, this morning Nassar wrote a letter to Judge Rosemary Aquilin saying he doesn't have the mental health to hear any more testimonies from his victims. The judge called the letter a waste of paper.
You may find it harsh that you are here listening, but nothing is as harsh as what your victims endured for thousands of hours at your hands. Spending 4 or 5 days listening to them is significantly minor, considering the hours of pleasure you had at their expense and ruining their lives.
Prosecutors are seeking a 124-year prison sentence for Nassar on top of the 60-year sentence he received for possession of child pornography. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Men's basketball hosts Jacksonville State tonight at 7 following the women's game. The men's game will be televised by the CBS Sports Network. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell as investors assessed the possibility of the government shutting down at the end of the week, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 97.84 at 26,017.81. The S&P 500 was down 4.53 at 2798.03, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 2.23 at 7296.05. And Congress does need to pass a spending bill by the end of Friday to avoid a government shutdown, and historically a government shutdown has led to a short-term pullback in the stock market. In earnings news, Morgan Stanley and BB&T both reported better than expected earnings and revenue, and Morgan Stanley stock was up 0.7%, and BB&T stock was up 1.625%. General Electric shares hit their lowest level in 6 years, breaking below $17 for the first time since December 2011. And after the close, IBM reported their first quarterly revenue rise in 23 quarters, but the stock was down in after-hours trading. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.3%, finishing at $63.79 a barrel. Gold was down almost 1% at $1,326.90 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were up slightly, with the Stock 600 index up 0.2%. In Asia, stocks were mixed, with the Nikkei down 0.4% and the Shanghai Composite up almost 1%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were United Health Group and Walmart, and the worst performers were GE and Boeing. In the S&P 500, the best performers were AES Corporation and Viacom, and the worst performers were Albemarle and Bank of New York Mellon. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 42 cents at 72.97, CSX up 36 cents at 58.05, Marathon Petroleum down 49 cents at 71.49, AK Steel down 11 cents at 654, AEP down 45 cents at 67.80, and U.S. Bank Corp is down 21 cents to finish at 56.13. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's is made to order specialty pizzas include spicy Italian, Tuscan 6 cheese, Mediterranean veggie, spinach Alfredo, and Hawaiian barbecue chicken. Side items include garlic parmesan breadsticks, cheese sticks, chicken wings, and poppers. Desserts include chocolate chip cookies and double chocolate chip brownies. For pickup or delivery in Moorhead and Round County, Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551 or online at papajohns.com.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the WMKY region. Clear skies tonight, lows around 21 degrees. Sunny tomorrow with highs in the mid-40s. On Friday night, it'll be clear with lows around 31. On Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 52 degrees. Overnight lows around 45. It'll be rainy Sunday morning with a high of 54 degrees. And Sunday night into Monday, we'll see more rain, a high of 57 with lows in the mid-30s. It's currently 30 degrees in Maysville, 30 as well in Winchester, 29 in Lexington, 32 in Ashland and in Inez, 29 in Flemingsburg, and 30 degrees here in Moorhead.
A memorial reception will be held in honor of Dino Goldain, Moorhead State Associate Professor of Art and Design. The reception will take place from 3 to 5 p.m. on Wednesday, January 24th at the Claypool Young Art Building at Moorhead State University. MSU faculty, staff, students, alumni, and friends are welcome to attend.
And the day before that, Dr. Roma Prindle will present a faculty voice recital in the Duncan Recital Hall of the Baird Music Building at MSU. The concert will be held at 7:30 p.m., Tuesday, January 23rd. Admission is free. The public is invited.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Kenzie Thompson, Brian Courtney, Braxton Howard, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202VHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.